one of the first basic topics is where the Torah comes from, our beliefs in the Torah. There are many, many proofs for Torah being min hashamayim and for the depth that Torah has. Ultimately, the greatest proof for the Torah being min hashamayim is learning the Torah and appreciating how qualitatively different, while similar, the chachmas haTorah is from anything human beings can reach. Unfortunately, that's a hard thing to motivate 18 and 19-year-olds when they first start their learning of Torah. They want to have the faith to invest and go all the way. It's hard when you know very little to be inspired by what comes through knowing so much. When I was your age, the greatest inspiration for me to believe in Torah min hashamayim, to believe in God, was to interact with people who were so much wiser than I was, so much more experienced than I was, who had seen so much more and understood so much more, and believed so passionately. To be able to see people with all that they had going for them, who were able to believe, meant a lot to me at a time when I didn't yet know as much as they knew and as much as I would once know. And that is the most important thing for people to be familiar with, even before you begin any shir. Hopefully you have Rabbanim, and they had Rabbanim, and have Rabbanim, who had Rabbanim, and that is the Mesorah of the Jewish people. I think the question of whether we're right and the Christians are wrong and the Muslims are wrong, improving us, improving them, are all interesting things. And it pays to invest in understanding why Judaism has so much more validity and proof than other tracks. But in the end, there are different tracks and there are different people, and I don't think God can expect someone to look beyond what they are born and raised with, unless there's a good reason to. I don't think God's going to have a taina against Muslims, why didn't they become Jews? Or Christians, why didn't they become Muslims? They're raised with what you were taught. Things, I don't know if they make sense, but maybe they do. And you live the best you can as an Eved Hashem within what you are exposed to. We are born within a certain Mesorah, and that is the most important basis for us following the Mesorah that we receive. So ultimately, that's the most important thing. That having been said, we should do our best to learn what our Mesorah is, to find whatever proofs and bases we can find for what we believe, because we should strive to know and not just believe blindly. And that's really what these shiurim are about. So tonight, we're going to be learning about Torah Shebichtav a little bit. Tomorrow night, a little bit about Torah Shebaal Peh. There'll be more coming in the coming weeks. Yeshar Koach to Rav Horn for arranging these shiurim and to all those who are giving shiurim in it. In the first year tonight, I thought it was worthwhile to begin by talking about what exactly we believe regarding Tanakh. And here there's a very basic difference between Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. As opposed to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, where what we believe itself is not 100% clear, by Torah, the Emunah is very clear. The question is the scope of it, the proofs for it, and that's what we'll be talking about tonight. Let's begin with what the belief is itself. There are two things we believe regarding the Torah. Number one, God gave it to Moshe. Number two, Moshe wrote it down. Let's begin with belief number one. And again, these beliefs come from Torah, from Nach, from Chazal. The giving over to Moshe, of course, we hear very often during the Torah, Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, in reference to a particular piece. But there are also places in Nevi'im and Ksuvim where the Torah as a whole is referred to as Toras Elokecha. For example, the first source from Moshe Perek Dalid, Shem refers to the Toras Elokecha as a term, seemingly in reference to the Torah as we know it. The second issue, beyond the Torah coming from God, Moshe having transcribed it, that we find reference to in the Torah itself. And here it's important to look at the two places where the Torah describes Moshe writing down the words of God. The first is in the context of Har Sinai, Shmot Perek Chav Dalet. It says, Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. Later on in the Perek, it says that Moshe took the Sefer HaBrit, this scroll he had written, which is going to be used as the basis for the covenant. Moshe, we're told, wrote down things that he heard at Har Sinai. At the end of the Torah, in Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, we're told Vayichtov Moshe et HaTorah Hazot, as opposed to Shmot Perek Chav Dalet, where he wrote down the things God told him at Har Sinai, something that became the Sefer HaBrit. Here we're told that Moshe wrote the Torah. He then added the Shira to it, if you're taking a look in Parshat Vayelach, and it concludes in Pasuk of Dalet, Vayehi kechalot Moshe lichtov et divrei haTorah hazot al sefer ad tumam. There's a reference to Moshe writing the words al sefer. In Pasuk of Vav, it's referred to as the Sefer Torah hazeh. And Moshe is told, Moshe gives it over to the Levim, and they're told to put it by the Aron Bris Hashem. The Torah that Moshe wrote and gave to the Levim was meant to serve as a proof text to the Jewish people throughout future generations. In fact, if you look at the time of Yoshiyahu, Melachim Bet, Perek of Bet, bottom of page 1, we're told about how the time of Yoshiyahu's father, Menashe, the Jews had gone off the Derech, and they lost the Torah and the reference to it, but that Torah by the Aron Kodesh remained, and then when they began purifying the Mikdash, they found the Sefer Torah, and it led to a whole movement of Tshuva. So there's this Sefer Torah that Moshe himself writes and gives over to the Levim as a proof text. Chazal discuss the relationship between these two Ketivot, Shemot Perek Chav Dalet and Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph. It's discussed in the top of page 2 in the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach, where Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree as to whether the Torah was written Megillah Megillah, piece by piece, or whether it was Torah Chatuma Nitna. Reish Lakish, it was written as one. Reish Lakish's opinion is very easy to understand. Hashem told Moshe whatever he told him throughout the years in the desert. Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, Moshe wrote it all down. Chatuma Nitna. According to Rav Yochanan, it says Megillah Megillah Nitna. So Rashi holds, second source on page 2, each time Hashem said something to Moshe, he wrote that down as a Megillah and eventually put them all together. The Ramban understands, next source, in his Akdamah to Sefer Bereishis, there were two times the Torah was written. The first part at Har Sinai, the stuff that Moshe was told then, and the second time at the end when it was completed. Megillah, Megillah means twice, not many, many times. But the Machlokas comes down to, was it written in a process over time in the Midbar, or was it written at one stage at the very end of the Midbar? I know that this can be a surprise for people, because many people are used to thinking that Hashem told Moshe everything at Har Sinai, and he wrote it all down and came down with the Sefer Torah. Now, clearly that's not true. First of all, you see the Pesukim. But also, logically, it's not true. Moshe wasn't told at Har Sinai that he would sin at the rock, and he wasn't told that the Jews would sin with the Meraglim. Had he been told that, Jewish history would have taken a different course. What we mean when we talk about all of the Torah was given to Moshe at Har Sinai, we mean the mitzvot were told to Moshe at Har Sinai. Moshe was told all the mitzvot at Har Sinai. Even once he was told to tell the Jewish people later, he was told at Har Sinai. But the Torah, as we know it, the scroll with the parshios, that was not all told to Moshe at Har Sinai. It could be the first part was told to him up to that point, Megillah, Megillah, Nitna, but it doesn't change the basic point of God told Moshe all the content of the Torah and told him to write it down in a certain format. The mitzvot content at Har Sinai, the stories as they happened, the conclusion being in Parshat Vayelech, God communicating with Moshe, and the Torah as we know it. And that's why throughout Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the Torah is ascribed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Looking at the continuation of page 2, Yoshua Perek Aleph, Yoshua Perek Chet, talking about Torah's Moshe. In Perek Chet, he actually talks about Kakotuv B'Sefer Torah Moshe, so it's not just some kind of Mesorah Torah's Moshe. Right? It's Kakotuv B'Sefer Torah's Moshe. There's a Sefer. Malachim Perek Bet, similar reference. Malachi Perek Gimel, the end of Tanakh, Zichru Torah's Moshe. Tanakh ends by connecting it back to its beginning in the Torah. And this idea of belief in the Torah emanating from God as given and written by Moshe is a basic part of our faith. That's why the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, top of page 3, says, Kol Yisrael Yishnam Chelek Olam Haba, beautiful thing. Ve'elu she'enlam Chelek Olam Haba, there's some who don't have a Chelek. Kol Yisrael, but there are some who don't. And one of them is a person who says, Ein Torah min Hashamayim. The centrality of this is expressed through the fact that the belief in the Torah coming from Moshe constitutes 4 out of the 13 principles of the Jewish faith. If you look here, next source on page 3, Ani Mamin Bemun Shleim Shagol Divri Nevi'im Emet, Zayin, Ani Mamin Shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu had a special status, Chet, Ani Mamin Shekol HaTorah Mitzviyati Biyadeinu Nesil Moshe Rabbeinu, and Tet, Ani Mamin Shleim Shazot HaTorah Lo Teh Mukhlefet, it won't be changed, as opposed to the Christians and the Muslims, etc. 4 of the 13. And that's why the Rambam included this idea in his introduction to his halachic work, Mishneh Torah, Sefer Mada, our beliefs, begins with Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, which has three parts. Part one, the belief in God. Obviously, if you don't believe in God, you can't get anywhere. Number two, the belief in prophecy, which means the God who we believe in gives information to man. Again, you don't have a Torah if God doesn't tell us anything. And number three, the uniqueness, the belief in the uniqueness of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Those three things are cornerstones of being able to continue with Judaism, with the Yad HaChazaka, with Halacha. The question is, what is the basis for these beliefs? The first question is, what do we believe? Rabbi, what do we believe? We believe that God told Moshe the Torah and told him to write it down as he told him. And again, I explained how and when and at what stage and what. My question now is, what basis do we have for believing in this? So I'd like to distinguish between two things. The basis the initial receivers had for believing in it, and the basis we have for believing in it. Let's start with the initial receivers. The Rambam writes, third source on page 3, that Moshe Rabbeinu was believed by the Jewish people not because of the miracles he did in Mitzrayim. Because miracles are always negotiable and people can have black magic powers. The Jews believed in Moshe because of what they experienced at Har Sinai. And the basis for this statement of the Rambam is in the Torah itself. If you look in Shmot Perek Yutet, it's clear that not only was the Rambam correct, but that this was the goal of Har Sinai. What do we need Har Sinai for? Moshe will go up, Hashem will tell him everything, he'll come down. The Chiddush of Har Sinai was that God spoke directly to the Jewish people. That God spoke to Moshe in front of the Jewish people. The first and last person who God spoke to in front of hundreds and thousands of people who constituted a complete nation. Those are two very important points. If I have a nation that's me and Ilan share, and we claim God spoke to us, it's a whole nation, but it's two people. If on the other hand, I say God spoke to 600,000 Chinese people, there are 6 million Chinese, no, 6 billion or whatever, right? Chinese people. God spoke to 6 million. So if you say, I never heard of that, well, that's because you're not a descendant of one of the 6 million of the Chinese. You're from the other 54 million Chinese. But to make the claim, to speak to an entire people that consists of millions of people, that nobody else has made such a claim of. And that, says Shmot Perek Yutet, was the goal of Har Sinai. Let's take a look inside. We don't have enough time to go through it properly, but just briefly. Hashem calls Moshe up at Har Sinai. He says, I want to make my relationship with the Jewish people eternal and permanent, assuming they're interested in being part of it. The Jewish people, of course, answer, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naase. Pasuk Chet. In Pasuk Tet, Hashem says to Moshe, let's look inside. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hine anuchi boi elecha bi'ava anan, I'm going to come to you in a cloud. Ba'avur yishma ha'am bedabri imach, v'gam b'cha yaminu l'olam. So the people will hear me speaking with you and through that, believe in you forever. The Rishonim ask, the Jews already believed in Moshe. Look at the top of page 4, Shmot Perek Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, Vayamenam. Maybe they lost their faith when things didn't go well right away. But Shmot Perek Yudalad, after Kriyat Yamsov and all the Makot, it says, as we say in Tefillah, Vayar Yisrael Tayad Agdola Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, Vayiru Ames Hashem, Vayaminu V'Hashem V'Moshe Avdo. They already believed in him. Ibn Ezra and the Ramban explain, so page 4, there's a difference between believing that Moshe can do miracles and believing that Moshe is a prophet who God converses with personally, who God gives over mitzvos to. That's totally different. There are a lot of prophets we believed had powers and had communications, but not like Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what it means when it says, v'gam b'cha ya'aminu and le'olam, on a level that no other prophet will be able to challenge. The reason we believe in what Moshe said and Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel and Yeshaya and Hosea cannot reverse it is because the level of belief in Moshe is different. We heard it. We all heard it. God set him up in a way that no one before him and no one after him would be equal to, so we'll know what he says is forever. In fact, if you look towards the continuation on the bottom of page 3, it says God came down on the mountain and it was smoking and rocking. And it says in Pasuk Yutet, Moshe yidaber ve'elokim ya'anenu b'kol. It almost sounds like Moshe speaking and God is answering him. Unbelievable. And what were they talking about? I think all this can explain, top of page 4, something strange that happens right before Har Sinai. God comes down on Har Sinai and he calls up Moshe to the top of the mountain And Hashem says to Moshe, go tell the people to stay away from the mountain, it's dangerous. Moshe asks an obvious question in Pasuk of Gimel. The people can't go up to the mountain because I told them already to stay away from the mountain as you told me. If you look on the bottom of page 3, Hashem told Moshe in advance to tell the people to stay away from the mountain. And it says Moshe told them. Yet, when God's presence comes down, Hashem asks Moshe to tell them again. And Moshe says, why? I already told them. God doesn't answer it. The Mechilta explains that the Jewish people should be able to see how great Moshe is, that God is agreeing with him. First and last time in the history of the world where a prophet comes down and says something. And I'm sure there were cynical Jews there. It's a redundant term, cynical Jews. Maybe Dustin and Aviram is saying, yeah, God said this. All of a sudden God comes down and calls Moshe up. Now again, anyone touching the mountain, Moshe's walking right up there. And God says, tell them to stay away from the mountain. Moshe says, I told them already. Dustin says, Aviram, you see, I told you he said it. This is the one time where there's confirmation for the words of the prophet. Har Sinai has two goals. In Parakhlof, God speaks directly to the Jewish people, which is an unbelievable thing. But Parakutet is where God wants the Jewish people to hear him speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, to set Moshe Rabbeinu up on his level of prophecy. And this, of course, is the backdrop for our belief today. If we continue on page 5, before Moshe tells the Jewish people in Sefer Dvarim the mitzvot he's meant to tell them at this stage in Jewish history, he reminds them of what happened at Har Sinai, Dvarim Perakeh. If I asked any of you before this year, why does Moshe repeat the Aseres HaDibros in Dvarim Perakeh? Why do we need it a second time? You would say, well, there's a difference. Everything's repeated more than once in the Torah. Those are not the reasons. If you look inside, it says, Moshe explains, remember when God spoke to you face to face? And you then came after Har Sinai and said, this is too much for us. You go and hear the rest. It was your idea. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. You said, "Go. You should go and hear the rest, and we'll listen to you." Moshe says, this is the rest. Moshe uses the experience of Har Sinai and the Jews' subsequent suggestion to him that he should go hear the rest on his behalf as the basis for them believing in the mitzvot he's giving them in his own lifetime, 38 years later. If we want to ask ourselves, what should our basis, 3,800 years later, be for believing in the Torah? Let's look at the basis Moshe himself brings 38 years later to the Jewish people. Many of the Jews then weren't at Har Sinai. They weren't alive. Many of them were alive, and it's 38 years later. Moshe, as basis for believing in him, says, remember that experience? Remember you sent me to hear the rest? Here it is. And this is why the classic basis that Judaism brings for believing in its Torah as opposed to any other religion, and by the way, through this believing in God, is the bombastic claim that we all heard it, that all of our ancestors heard it. That's a very hard thing to fabricate. Maybe not impossible, and all these things are discussed, but a very hard thing to fabricate, that millions of people, who are the whole people, two points, heard such that. I'm not saying it's impossible, there's all kinds of discussions. To live in a world where nothing is clear, we have to be able to have a tzad sheni for everything. That's a very strong claim that no other religion makes. And the Kuzari makes this point here in the bottom of page 5. This is the point that convinces the Kuzar king. And that's why we begin Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai Umasruah LeYeshua, the importance of that moment. There are many additional proofs bought for the beauty and the godliness of the Torah. For example, there are many people who talk about amazing Torah codes. Right, if you count every 49th letter, etc., and it's only in the Torah as opposed to other books that were written, even other religious books, the amazing transmission of the Torah, that it's all the same throughout the world, despite the fact that the Christian Bible has the 40,000 differences in it, and even Shakespeare, Lavda, that was written 500 years ago, has thousands of differences in it. There are people who talk about knowledge that's in the Torah that no one later could have come up with, or no one who wasn't God couldn't come up with. Many of these things are in Eshet Torah and Discovery Seminar. We'll give you some of that stuff, etc. But this is the classic, basic, beginning, opening proof. I want to discuss now two additional things. One, the scope of this proof. And two, how this translates itself in the learning of Torah. Let's begin with the scope of this proof. When we say the Torah is Min HaShamayim, does it mean every pasuk, every word, every letter? The Mishnah we saw in Sanhedrin says, "Ein l'chelek ha'am haba." Someone who says Torah is not min hashamayim. the Braisa on that Mishnah says that even if a person says the whole Torah is Minishamayim with the exception of this Pasuk that Moshe said on his own, is Dvar Hashem Baza, and he's a terrible person. The Rambam, based on this in his introduction to Perek HaChelek, the Mishnayot that deal with Olam Haba, etc., Chelek Olam Haba, he says, we see from here there's no difference whatsoever between the halachic parts, the story parts. There's no difference between the Pasuk of Nei Chom Kushu Mitzrayim, B'Shem Yishto Mahatavel V'Tim Nohisa Pilegesh, U'Ven Anochi Hashem Lokech Lushma Yisrael. Torah Hashem Tamima, it all comes from Hashem. The problem with this is that there are psukim that can be understood as written later. For example, Parashat Lech Lecha, it says, when Avram got to Eretz Yisrael, it says, Va'aknani Oz Ba'aretz. Why would you say Va'aknani Oz Ba'aretz if it's not being written at a time when the Kanani are no longer Ba'aretz? The time when the Torah was given to the Jewish people, the Kanani are still Ba'aretz. So I would have to say Va'aknani Oz Ba'aretz. They were still Ba'aretz. Bereishis Perek Lamed Vav. These are the kings who reigned in Edom before a king reigned in the Jewish people. Before a king reigned in the Jewish people. When the Torah is being given, there's still no king in the Jewish people. And of course, the most famous example are the psukim at the end of the Torah that report the death and burial of Moshe. Was Moshe told these psukim? Maybe he was. Did he write them down? There are two kinds of solutions to these questions. The first are local solutions. For example, Rashi says on Va'aknani Oz Ba'aretz, bottom of page 6, doesn't mean then as opposed to now, it means then already. Hayaholech v'kovesh et Eretz Yisrael mizar shoshem. Meaning, we want you to realize that Kanani were already Ba'aretz. And that has significance for the continuation of the story. The Ibn Ezra says about the psukim about Melech Melech b'Yisrael, b'derech nevuah, God wants you to know that these were the kings there before kings would. God obviously knows there'll be kings amongst the Jewish people. It's not an akasha. And a similar solution is suggested by Chazal on page 7 regarding the last psukim. Moshe was told these psukim b'derech nevuah, and he wrote them or someone else, but he was already told about his death and his burial. And none of these things are things that you can't say, that are problems, that are cautious. But there is another mandamer in that Gemara in Baba Basra. There's a mandamer that says that Moshe was told the psukim and Yehoshua wrote them down. So there's a mandamer in the Gemara in Baba Basra that says that there are certain psukim in the Torah that were not written by Moshe. Now again, let's keep this into perspective for a second. We're not saying they weren't told to Moshe. They just weren't written on parchment by Moshe. Now the question is, can you learn from here to other examples? And what about the Gemara in Sanhedrin? So again, one can say this is a very unique case. It's talking about psukim that were given from Hashem to Moshe, just written, and Moshe gave them to Yehoshua. They were just written by Yehoshua. And one could say this is a unique place because we have a Mesorah from Chazal, not other places. That having been said, and definitely the genuinely accepted Shita is the Shita of the Rambam, as we mentioned, the Rambam, that all the Pesukim were given from Hashem to Moshe, written by Moshe, maybe with the exception of the last day. That having been said, it's important to know that there is a Rishon, Sefer Tzavos Panech of Yosef ben Eliezer Tuv Elam, and the fact that I have to quote this and not the Rashba or the Ritva or the Ramban or, you know, Bali Atosis or Rashi or the Ibn Ezra or the Rashbam shows you that it's not the mainstream Shita, but it is a Shita that says that there are other examples as well. And the basis for this Shita is the Ibn Ezra. Let's go back to the top of page 7. On the Pasuk, that Kanani Azbar at 2nd Source, first he quotes the Pshat of Rashi, and then he says, and if it's not that way, there's a Sod here. The Hamaskil and the wise one Yidom will remain quiet. I want you to have a good week and a frail Hanukkah. We'll soon see why I'm willing to share this with you. What sod is he talking about? In the beginning of Sefer Devarim, it talks about where the Jews were, and it talks about how it was 11 days from Chorev. And the Ibn Ezra seems bothered by this. I think what bothered him was, why would the Jews who received the Torah need to know it was 11 days? They knew exactly where they were. Well, one could say, it's for us. They were told it's 11 days. But the Ibn Ezra was bothered by this, and he writes the following. V'im tavin sod hashneimasar. If you understand the secret of the 12, gam vayichtov Moshe, v'aknani oz baretz, v'har Hashem yeroe, gam v'hinei arso eres barzel, takir ha'emet. You'll know the truth. All these psukim along these lines that one could understand maybe as being written at a later stage. That Kanani Azbarat I spoke about, I don't have to go through each of them and explain to you why. You have the psukim in front of you. What does the Sod HaShneimasar mean? There's a big debate amongst the Mefarshim of the Ibn Ezra about this. Rav Yosef Tov Ella makes the following suggestion. He says that it could be, and let me explain the full thing, there were psukim that were written later. For example, the last 12 psukim. That's the Sod HaShneimasar. Now the truth is, if you look back at Dvarim Perek Lamed Beis, it's only really the last 8 that talk about Moshe's actual death. But one could conceivably say that once the last 8 were written by Yoshua, maybe the whole Perek was written by Yoshua, all of Perek Lamed Daled, which is 12 psukim. The Ibn Ezra, as understood by the Tzafen Spanach, understood that this could be a paradigm, a prototype, for other situations as well. Maybe the word Uz, Vaknani Baretz, later we know they weren't, so someone added Vaknani Uz Baretz. Now just to put this in perspective, what about the Gemara in Sanhedrin? On the top of page 8, he explains that's talking about the halachic parts of the Torah. But to say that the word Uz may have been added later, that you're not an apikoros. At the very end of his piece, he explains, top of page 8, this sod, it's not appropriate to reveal to people, because they might be mezalzel in the Torah, because someone who's not wise and won't know the difference between mitzvos and stories will make a mistake. Also, he adds, because of the umos ha'olam, who claim that our Torah has been changed, it's a terrible thing for them to be familiar with this, therefore don't say anything about it. Now today, the umos ha'olam are no longer debating whether our Torah has been changed or not, nobody cares. And for Jews, sadly, we live in a time when people have doubts. And therefore, I don't think it's a problem to make people aware of the fact that there is such a shita. And to understand the perspective of it. The greatness and beauty of our Torah is, as I said before, it's been transmitted for thousands of years without there being differences between it, which is something miraculous. So the notion that our Torah would have been changed is really historically, scientifically ludicrous. The idea that maybe 3,000 years ago someone added the word Uz, not someone, it wouldn't have been me or Josh Lehman, it would have been, you know, the Anshe Knesset Gedolah or someone, and Chazal talk about things when things were translated for the Greeks, etc. It's possible. Is it the generally accepted Shita? No. Is it what I think a person should believe? No. Are there terutzim for these things? Yes. But are you an apikoros if you do? And should you have to lose your faith because someone makes this point to you? Hopefully not. And that's why it's important to be aware of this thing. One last point. About 200 years ago, a little bit more than 200 years ago, 250 years ago, there began in Europe a movement whose goal it was to undermine religion by undermining the Torah. Their goal wasn't just to undermine Judaism. It was to undermine all religions that begin with the Torah. And they did it by trying to show, prove, in quotes, that the Torah is not min hashamayim. This group of people developed something called the documentary hypothesis, which tried to show that the Torah must have been written by different authors, which, if you think about it, is a very hard thing to try and prove. How can you prove that a book was written by different authors? How would you go about proving that? Unless you met the authors. They tried to prove it by talking about places in the Torah that seem redundant or that seem contradictory. For example, if you look in Sefer Bereishis, there are two stories about creation. There are two places where it talks about a treaty being made with the Avos that led to Be'er Sheva being called Be'er Sheva. There are mitzvot in the Torah that are repeated more than once. Sometimes with differences between the places it's repeated, like Eved Ivri and etc. Now, of course, the problem with this approach was that, A, they had a real strong agenda, which led to presenting as clear things that were not at all clear. The documentary hypothesis turned into a joke in the course of the 20th century when the attempt to identify different authors fell apart because it wasn't consistent. The idea that this was written by this and this was written by that, but then they started to find themes that appeared in both that really should have only been in one, and the terutzim that were given were much more doichik than anything anyone had ever said before. To the point where the documentary hypothesis as a belief system only exists by people who have reason to believe that the Torah wasn't written by Hashem and they need some justification. So I once heard Mati Berger say, and I believe that this is true, that science is not knowledge. Science has become in these areas a matter of faith for people. The facts, when looked at more carefully, don't lead you in that direction. That having been said, there are real issues. Why does the Torah tell something more than once? Why does the Torah tell something in different ways sometimes? In different parshios. And these are real good questions, by the way. There are many answers that have been given, but the most basic answer is that Hashem presents different things in different parts of the Torah different ways because each one has a lesson to teach. And by presenting Shabbos in one place this way and in another place that way, in essence, you're teaching about the different sides of Shabbat that you wouldn't appreciate if they were presented together. This is a whole limud in and of itself. And in the course of your learning in Yeshivat HaKotel, and hopefully in your life, you'll be exposed to Tanakh taught this way. My shiur deals a lot of the Rav Horn's shiur, deal a lot of the Rav Heller's and Nevi'im, will deal a lot of this way. Those who learn Shmuel with Rav Heller, you'll learn about the different stories of Shimshon and the relationships between them. These are issues that the firm world is aware of. There are no issues out there that the firm world is not aware of that don't have explanations that, frankly, in my opinion, are much better than the kashas. The kashas are very useful, by the way, because they helped us identify and appreciate areas of Torah that weren't appreciated enough. By the way, most of these kashas were asked already by Chazal, and the approaches they gave were excellent. And of course, you can always give new approaches, etc. One of the things we'll be learning about in the Yemei Yun in Tanakh is how to learn Pshat and Drash. Nothing right now. We're talking about Torah Min HaShamayim. So let's summarize, because my time is up, and any of these things people are welcome to speak to me about further. I want to try and make a question and answer session over Hanukkah, so if people want to ask more about these issues then, bevakasha. Would people like a question and answer session? We haven't had one in a couple of weeks. I didn't want to do it Tuesday because I want to get another fellowship, but we'll figure out when it'll be. What did we talk about? We began by talking about what our belief is. Our belief is that Hashem gave the content of the Torah over to Moshe and that Moshe wrote it down. We saw where this belief comes from in Tanakh and in Chazal and it being one of the Ikari Emuna. We talked about the basis for it. Har Sinai, that time, at the end of the time in the Midbar, and as the Kuzari points out in our own time, there are many, many more proofs, but that's the core traditional proof, which I think, even if nothing in our world is a proof, and nothing in our world, I believe, is a proof, because our world is a place of doubt, it's the strongest basis, even if ultimately people can consider other options. We spoke about the scope of this belief. Does it apply to every word and every letter? The standard shita is yes. Like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Dvar Hashem Baza. But just to be aware of the idea that in non-halachic portions, the idea that a word could have been added, is a shita that exists as a das yachid out there. And we spoke also about the documentary hypothesis, and particularly how we approach the idea that stories can be told very often in different places, different ways. The Miraglim story told different ways in different places because it highlights different things that are both correct and true. I'd like to conclude now with the way I began, which is our world has to be in a way that people have choice. Choice doesn't mean that there isn't basis for believing in what you believe in. It just means that in the world we live in, whatever you prove ultimately is not something we see as 100% because for us, seeing is believing. Until people see God, it's very hard for them to really believe He exists. Until people see or saw that God gives the Torah, ultimately our beliefs are rational and not things we actually experience. I think we should do whatever we can to find the basis to believe more. But ultimately a big part of life is being able to live our lives with the doubt that is inherent to living in this world the best that we can. And the sad part for most of us is, and since we live in a world where there are doubts, we end up hedging our bets and living whatever we live less than 100%. And that's chaval. We should decide, we want to believe in Judaism, let's live Judaism the best way we can. Let's get the best support we can and live it 100%. Just like Mirat Hashem, when we get married, we're not going to be 100% sure that we've met the right woman. Oy vavoy lano if we get married 90%. The ability to get married 100%, even though you know only 90%, is a central part of getting married, of choosing a career, of choosing a place to live, of anything in life, being able to move forward full force. And in the end, for me, just on a personal level, all these proofs are great, but for me, what does it is, A, having a Mesorah that I'm born into, B, having Rabbeim, who I know have seen so much more than me and are able to believe this passionately, and number three, the amount of Torah I've learned and seen. And I have studied other things. the appreciation I have of Tanakh, the appreciation of the depths of Gemara, which can't be compared to anything else in our world, qualitatively, not just quantitatively, for me is the greatest proof that I'm lucky enough to be part of something that's otherworldly. That last thing is hard for someone who's 18 and 19. But hopefully if you can start with the things I began with, my Mesorah and my Rebbeim, and the belief that God doesn't expect me to see beyond the things that I'm given that make sense to me, you'll be able to invest in a way that when you're my age, you'll have even more basis for believing, which is having learned the things itself. At this stage in age, collect as many proofs as you can to make your belief stronger. The things we'll be doing here, discovery seminars, we have our own discovery seminar, we'll be doing other shiurim, other things, bakasha, strengthen your belief the best you can. But in the end, know that real proof, that's another world. Our world is a place that's meant to be. Now, I'm not saying you can't convince yourself, but in the end, no matter how much it makes sense to us, we live in a world where seeing is believing. And we should know that Meirosh, so we don't expect things we shouldn't expect and aren't disappointed by reality. Any questions about the basic framework of what we're doing? Will another two shiurim now of Cutler?